Thank you that we could be here together, and so good to be together. And we just pray that you would have your way with us for the rest of this morning. It's going to be a short time. We'll be back down the mountain, back into life, and we just pray that you would multiply this time in our lives, that you would make it count. Make it count. Just pray that you would do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Who has quiet time thought? Anybody get thoughts from the Word? Steele kind of shared his. Anybody get kind of a unique thought from the Word this morning that you could build us all up with? Share with us? Trust that God speaks to you in the mountains as well as He does not in the mountains. So it's good. Kristen, why don't you come up here real quick? I'll just give you this. It reaches now.
I just like this verse out of Psalm 52. It says, "But I'm like an olive tree thriving in the house of God. I will always trust in God's unfailing love. I will praise you forever, O God, for what you have done. I will trust in your good name in the presence of your faithful people."
That's very appropriate for today, right? In front of God's faithful people. Cool.
I've been reading out of Colossians lately, and I think this is a beautiful picture of Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church, and that's us. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, or making peace through His blood shed on the cross.
Amen. Yes.
This is just out of Matthew, and it's at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and He's fulfilling a prophecy, and the prophecy was that pretty much He went to Galilee, and it said, "From that time on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.'" And that just kind of reminded me that that's one of Jesus' turning points, that there are about 3 turning points in His ministry where something happened and everything changed. And I just kind of thought about this weekend and hearing the history last night that there's all these things that happen that are turning points in the church that things begin to change. It just kind of reminded me of that and thought that was kind of neat to see that parallel.
That's really cool. Every time I just find myself with the insecurities and stuff like that, I love this verse. It's in Psalms 91. It's 14, 15, and 16. This is a different Bible version, so it might translate different, but it says, "Because He has loved me, therefore I will deliver Him. I will set Him securely on high, because He has known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer Him. I will be with Him in trouble. I will rescue Him and honor Him. With a long life, I will satisfy Him and let Him be loved. Behold, my salvation." I think it's beautiful. We got a promise there, guys.
I was reading Proverbs 9. I thought this was appropriate for this morning. It just starts off, says, "Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out," which means carving out pillars. I imagine, you know, those big Greek pillars of marble. Hewning out pillars. She's hewn out 7 pillars. So wisdom, it's kind of allegorically, or is comparing wisdom as a woman, has built her house. She has hewn out its 7 pillars. It takes hard work, takes planning to hewn out pillars. So she has prepared her meat. Wisdom has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She's taken time to think through the preparations of what's going to happen that day. She also set her table. It wasn't half-hearted. It wasn't, hey, here's some paper plates, you know, go sit in front of the TV. It was, you set her table and thought through what was going to happen. Wisdom does that. Wisdom thinks through what's going to happen and plans ahead. It says, from the highest point of the city, she says she has sent out her maids and she calls. So she sent out her maids. She's working with other people. Wisdom works with other people. And she calls from the highest point of the city. Wisdom is trying to reach a lot of people. Wisdom calls from the highest point. It doesn't just pick some place on the street. It goes to the highest point so they can be as effective as possible. And she says to those who lack judgment, come and eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of understanding. God wants us to be wise today. That's what I thought about there. God wants us to be wise. We need to take action. We need to have a plan. We need to go out and get people. We have a message that's going to bring life. That's us. And wisdom goes after it and works hard, hewing out the pillar, whatever it takes to get the job done. It's not half-hearted. And we talked about, last night we talked about where we've been. Today I want to talk a little bit about our present. To be empowered for the present. Last night, I hope you were encouraged by the past. Today, empowered by the present and excited about the future in our second session here this morning. But it's interesting, in between that section and the last part of Proverbs, there's 18 verses. In the last part of Proverbs 9, it talks about another woman. We just talked about the woman of folly. I mean, the woman of wisdom. Now we hear about the woman of folly. This is what it says to her. Look at the parallels. It says, the woman of folly is loud. Just loud. And I think our world is full of loudness. I mean, there's voices everywhere. And most of the voices are foolish. You don't want to hear them. You know, the radio, the TV, the woman of folly, it's just loud. And we are trying to reach a world that has voices. I don't know, is it Paige or who was it that used to say that? You know, you almost have to get right up to somebody to scream to get the message of Christ to them because there's so many other voices competing. The woman of folly is loud. That's what we're up against. She's undisciplined. She doesn't have knowledge. And she sits. I think that's kind of interesting. She sits at the door of her house. She doesn't necessarily work hard for what she's doing. She just sits. Just kind of blurts it out. Just loud. But it says she's at the highest point of the city. She knows where to go. Satan's not a fool. He knows where to go to get the most impact. She goes to the highest point, but she sits. Calling to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. You know, I think of Christians that, you know, God's called, and I've seen Christian after Christian that's going straight on their way, and all of a sudden they hear that other voice. Whatever it is, a distraction. Maybe it's just getting completely taken out of the game, but they hear that voice. They're going straight on their way, and the woman of folly is just yelling at him, screaming at him, saying, come this way. You don't want that. Come this way. And they go like this, and it's like, oh, man, we got to help people. The woman of folly is trying to pull people aside. She says, let all who are simple come in here. She says to those who lack judgment, so the woman of wisdom and folly are vying for the same people. People of simple-mindedness are just humble people that are just like, show me what to do. And people who lack judgment. But she says, stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. That's her call. She offers something that's really not going to satisfy and tells us it's going to satisfy. Isn't that our world? Isn't that the world we live in? Hey, eat this. You know, be involved in relationships that are going to tear your life up and spit you up and chew you out. And it's going to satisfy you, but we find out, you know, it's not satisfying. Stolen water is sweet, she says. Food eaten in secret is delicious. Don't tell anybody about it. Just go do it. It's going to satisfy you, but it doesn't. Matter of fact, the final verse says, but little do they know that the dead are there. And her guests are in the depths of the grave, in the depths of hell, it says in King James. That's where the guests of the woman of folly go. And the only difference between those two women are a number of verses, and it basically sums it up with this. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's the only difference between these two women. Wisdom, the woman of wisdom and the woman of folly is the fear of the Lord. Do we fear the Lord? If we do, then we'll make plans. We'll get to the highest point. We'll tell people, this is the real deal. This isn't fake. You got to taste this meat. Taste this wine. Not sweet water that doesn't satisfy. Taste the meat. Taste the wine that God offers. And that's our business. That's what we're about. And as a church, we have made plans. You know, I'm going to talk about some of those today. I just want to continue on a little bit. We're just going to go a short time and take a break and have another short time and be done. I want to make sure we get a group picture of everybody, and I want to get a picture of all the new deacons. As a matter of fact, one of our deacons that wasn't here last night is here this morning. So let's have Dr. Porter stand up real quick. And is Andy Petrie here? Andy Petrie. So it's only Andy Petrie is the only other guy that wasn't able to make it this weekend. As we heard all those amazing stories last night. By the way, isn't it good to be here? You know, there's nothing like just, there's something about, understand my heart here, there's something about just getting away. You know, I thought about Phil and myself and Mac, and I don't know how many conferences Phil and I have been to together way back since when? How long? 22 years Phil and I have been doing at conferences like this together. Big ones, little ones, men's groups, conference, overnighters. We've slept in a lot of cots that aren't comfortable and heard a lot of snoring. Now we're doing the snoring, I guess. And 22 years we've been doing this, and honestly, there's just something about a conference where you get away, you smell like smoke, you know, you get that little burnt marshmallow right on the corner of your mouth, somebody has to say you got something right there. You know, it's just something about being together with you guys. Just the distractions of the world, are they're back down there just for a moment, just for a couple hours. And somehow, the heavens part, and God speaks to our hearts oftentimes in situations like this. And I'm so glad you guys could come with us again. We're so fortunate, so blessed. We feel so blessed to have you guys and be able to labor with you guys. And you're thinking about, you know, just we had a meeting this morning with Terry and Cole and talking about different things. And it's just so fun to sit back and go, man, these guys are all about the kingdom. They're trying to figure out how to win people. I'm just sitting here listening going, you go. I mean, I'll be a part of it. But it's like, man, this is so cool that other people, that's their heart too. And we're laboring with people like that. We all have the same hearts. I don't know. I just bless my soul. As all those cool things were happening that we talked about last night, we grew. I mean, we had more people. We had, when we started out, we had, I think, my small group. Or was there another one? Was there two? When we first started, just ours. And then we multiplied. And we sent Kim away, I think, out of the group. I think at that point, is that right? We said, could you go to Porter's, start the second group, right? McEnroy's. But then you guys, somehow, because you went with Porter's, right? Okay. But we had a few small groups. That's what the point is. We just had a few small groups, and we grew, and the church grew. And then we got more small groups, more leaders. And then we decided to start the Saturday night church, and we kept growing. And I thought about what Pay said about leaders. I remember that the poor brothers that we did have, you know, they were sweet, and you guys know who I'm probably talking about. Sweet, dear brothers, but they didn't have the gift of leadership. But we wanted to have some brothers leading, so it was literally, it was like, I'd sit with Paige and Suge and these brothers and go, brothers, just learn from, you know, Paige will teach you how to lead. She's a leader. She'll teach you. You'll be the guy up front, but just, Paige, I need you to train these guys out to be leaders, you know. And that was our leadership core. That was our main leaders. It was like, God, this is what we got. And that's what we told them. I said, I know you don't want to do this, brother, but you are who we got right now. We need somebody to lead this thing. But now we got 12 deacons, we got two more pastors, and we got a bunch of guys that are going, I would like to be a deacon in this church. Amazing. And we have grown. And so that brings us to today. We grew for just constantly for 6 years. And it was steady growth, and it was people were getting saved, obviously baptized, and small groups growing, and small group leaders raised up, and a lot of good things were happening. And then last year, as far as attendance anyway, we kind of went kaboom, just kind of all of a sudden, it just kind of dropped about a little over a year ago, May of last year. And I talked to a lot of other pastors, and they were experiencing the same thing, so I just kind of expected we'd bump back up, but we didn't. We just kind of hovered, right? And we just dropped. And it hasn't been, except for the last few months, that we're back on the incline. We're doing that. But, you know, that you wonder about that when you drop 150 people or so in a church of, at that point, we were averaging over 800 every month for 3 months straight. And then, boom, we dropped down to about 650, 700. It's like, whoa, what is that? What's going on here? Is it summer? Or, you know, you evaluate. You need to evaluate stuff like that. In retrospect, as we've talked about it and thought about it, and I've thought about it, I really do think what happened was it's kind of like we were a dot-com company. I mean, at that point, we just had a handful of staff, four or five people, running two churches and trying to keep it together. We obviously had leadership, but we're growing fast, and we didn't have all these people. So as we grew, it's kind of like a big old apple tree or peach tree. I thought of Rick Sanchez, your peach tree, you know, when it's just loaded with fruit, loaded down. If that fruit would hang on, it would break the tree. Otherwise, it falls, and you have all this fruit on the ground. That's what happens with your peach tree, right? It'll fall, and you'll just have hundreds of peaches. And I think that's what happened with our church, honestly. I feel like we just outgrew our ability to maintain the fruit. I honestly believe that we grew and grew. It's like any company. We outgrew our structure. We outgrew our infrastructure and our ability to maintain and keep that fruit. And a lot of it just went kaboom and fell. And that's kind of how it sounds, kaboom, like that. And you know, God knows. And we realize that we need to do something different. We need to organize. We need to be like the woman of wisdom who hewn out her seven pillars. She prepared. She set her table. She planned it out. We knew that we had to build an infrastructure within our church and get some strong leadership. And that's where we're at right today. That brings us to today. Because we've done that. We're working on that. We've made progress with that. We feel really good about that. Our finances are in order. Our finances are unbelievably in order. Honestly, it's like we've been in the black for 14 months in a row. We have, I don't know how much, $60,000 or $70,000 in the bank for our building fund. And we have another, I don't know how much in our checking account. We're really careful what we spend. This is the first month I feel like we've spent money in 14 months, which is kind of it's a little scary. It's kind of addicting. I'm kind of thinking, you know, maybe we've been able to spend money. Just say no. I know, Michael. I know. I'm trying. You kind of give me the taste. I tasted it this month. Like, oh, yeah. It's nice to buy what you need. But anyway, that's in order. And this last, I want to help you guys be empowered by where we're at. With my wife, it helps me to communicate with her where things are at and where we're going. So where we're at is finances are really good as far as we're coming in some months pretty close, $600 in the black or $1,500 or $2,000 is a good month in the black. But we're paying all our bills. We're not in debt. Don't have any debt. Matter of fact, the album that we're making, it's already paid for. The one that they're still in the studio for, it's all paid for. It's done. So anything that we get off that is going to go back into a fund that's going to save for the next one. Plus, the last album is going to continue to generate funds. We're building that up. We're starting to work smart, not hard. Okay, so it's good. It's all good. God has blessed us financially. We had some huge givers leave, and it panicked us. Our best giver and our third best giver, and it's like, whoa, what are we going to do, God? And they were really generous. But God's taking care of it. He's blessed us. He's taking care of it. He's backfilled, plus some. Isn't God good? We don't have to worry about anything. I don't know why we worry, why I worry. But anyway, 2 weeks ago, I think it was, we took the staff on a 3-day, 2-night overnighter, and we just hashed out our org chart. Just basically said we have to build our infrastructure. We have to start from scratch. And we're not done with this. We're still working through it, but we got a big jump on it. And that incorporates all the leadership stuff that we talked about with the deacon, the management board of the deacons and new elders. And that's all incorporated in this org chart that will help us grow. And we've gone to seminars on how to do this that we just went away from as staff going, that is way too convoluted. That is not who we are. That's not going to work for us. So we actually came up with our own kind of unique org chart that fits who we are. We took all our ministries, all our events, everything we could think of as a staff for 2 days and 3 nights and threw them all on the table and said, what is this? Why are we doing this? And where would this fit? And I've shared this with you guys. It was kind of like, this is how I felt. I felt like my garage was kind of dirty and stuff was everywhere. And that puts pressure on me. I hate that when my garage is disorganized. There's just like a pressure. So a good Saturday for me is to take everything out of the garage. So neighbors see all my stuff spread on my driveway. It's all out. Then I get a broom and I just sweep everything out. And then I take stuff and I put it back in its proper place. And then I can go, I just feel so much better about that. Amen. Can you relate to that? Some of you can relate to that. We just did that with the church. We did that with all our events. It was kind of, we're kind of holding this up over here and this plate spinning. We're trying to get that, and we're just trying to hold it together. That's kind of how we, and God blesses and gives grace. But we just said, we shut it all down, took it out of the garage, laid it all out, cleaned them off, looked at them all, cleaned out the garage, built some shelves, put some labels, and said, okay, where's this one go? This one goes here. This one goes here. Now, what's the purpose of this? What's the purpose of this? Why are we doing this? What's a win for this particular category? Why would we put this here? Shouldn't we put it over here? Well, that makes sense. And we basically organized our whole church and then put leaders over each department, each thing. And I'm going to show you the chart in just a second. What we came up with, and, you know, is to you, it may just look like a chart, and you go, well, that's great, whatever. But for us, we really think this is going to help us prepare our house for future growth. It's going to give us an infrastructure that we can grow with and make sense to us. It's going to help you guys make sense, and it defines why we're doing what we're doing. When it's all done, every single activity that we do in this church will be defined by a win statement. We're calling it a win statement. That's some nomenclature you need to get used to. We're going to be calling it clarifying the win. What's a win for the cookie ministry? And we'll have a little sentence that says, this is what the cookie, here's the purpose. It's basically the purpose, what we want people to walk away with and do because of the cookie ministry or the outreach class or the worship team or the hospitality, the greeters. We'll have a statement that says, this is your goal. So they'll know exactly what a win is for them. For each event, for the Just Do It, what's a win for that? Well, we're going to write statements. We've done that for a lot of them. We know where it falls in the church. We know who's over it, but why are we doing it? And should we keep doing it? And what's a win for that? I think it might be appropriate this time just to pass these out so you can see what I'm talking about. Paige, you want to pass those out? So I can... Because, we want you guys to be on the same page literally is us, and you're looking at our cleaned up garage when you see this. We've come up with some names for different, I'm calling departments until we come up with something better, but what you're going to see is kind of the org chart, ministry chart. You're going to see names under these charts of people that are primarily responsible or are a go-to person. They may not have a lot of responsibility, but they're going to be kind of a point person for each ministry. You're going to see, has everybody got one? Derek needs one back there. Raise your hand if you don't have one. Derek, right back there. So what we have here is we've got our church is run as a benevolent dictatorship. That's how we run our church, just so you know. Benevolent is the key word. We love you. I'm not trying to get money from you. I'm not trying to make you work my land and give me 50% of what you make. We believe that God gives spiritual authority and leadership to the pastors, the elders, the bishops. By the way, that's all the same thing, biblically. Elder, pastor, bishop. We are the leaders of the church, and that's the way we lead this church. We're not run by committee or by board. We are led by pastors. I mean, we make the decisions how to spend the money, how to where we're going to plant churches, who we're going to recognize as leaders. We believe God gives the pastors that authority, that anointing, that wisdom, just like it's a role that God gives us, just like He gives the husband the role of the leader of the family. That's a role. It's not a put down to the women, it's not a put down to you, but that's how we run this church. We have an advisory board that is helpful. It's an advisory board, though, and we do that a couple reasons. For the 501c3 rules, we need to have an advisory board of directors that we report to and kind of give updates on how things are going, that allows us to have the 501c3 status, and we've been more faithful with that lately, a meeting, and we have to meet just once a year, but we meet once a quarter. So we've broken it down. There's the pastoral team. Advisory board is just simply that again, and then this is what's unique. A lot of places, a lot of churches would break up their... How would you describe it, Michael? How would most churches break up their chart here at this point? It'd be by ministry, like men's ministry, women's ministry, youth ministry. You see what I'm saying? That's how most churches would do it. And we kicked that around, and believe me, it might have been easier to do it that way. But we really felt like this is who we are. We want to be a church that everything we do is defined by winning, building, or sending. And then we realized with all that, we have a lot of support that does all three, or does parts of this. We couldn't confine, you know, how do you confine finances to Wind Builder Sent? You can't. So really, there is a support section, isn't there, in our church? There's a support that supports it all. And what we did was we defined each one of those main headings, the Wind Builder Sent. That's the first thing we did. Let me read that. Now this is going to help us. Remember, this is our shelves in our garage. We got a wind shelf, a build shelf, and a send shelf, and everything's out on the driveway. All our ministry, just do it, outreach class, everything's out there, and we're going to attach a wind builder send to each thing and put it on that shelf. That's how we attack this. But we had to know, what does it mean to win? Any ministry or event or relationship that intentionally brings people in one step closer to relationship with Christ. Brings people in is the key word. You got? You with me on that? So it makes sense that the rock party is primarily a win event, right? It's designed to bring our community in. So it's a win event. And that's how we went through each item. And some of them took 2 minutes, and some of them took 45 minutes. Some of them I had in all three categories at one point. Outreach class, I was, well, it's a win. No, it's not. It's a build. No, it's a send. Well, I don't even know where did it end up. It's a send. But we, as we talked about, that made the most sense. So that's a win, if it brings people in. If it's a build, it'll be any ministry event or activity that intentionally builds people up one level higher in their Christian maturity. If it fell under that category, we stuck them all. We just laid them all out, and then later we grouped them the way they're grouped. A send activity or event is something that intentionally budges people out to extend influence beyond established territory. That would be things like Just Do It, Operation Loving Kindness, the outreach class, Operation Christmas Child. We're pushing beyond the confines of our church or where we're primarily located. We're going outside of ourselves. If we're going to the Salvation Army to help there or the food bank, those are all send. Mission trips would obviously be a send. Our influence is extended beyond the territory that we've already taken. Church plant would obviously be a send. Okay, does that make sense? So we put things on shelves, and then support, things would fall out, and we go, that doesn't fit anywhere. It's supporting everything, so we put it in support. Support is any ministry activity whose primary focus is to enhance, empower, or boost the mission to win, build, or send. Sound, lighting. Where do you put sound and lighting? Is it a win? Well, yeah, sometimes it is. Is it a send? Well, yes. It's all three, so it's a support ministry. You guys with me? We try to think of everything. We probably forgot things. That was just one long list underneath all those categories. And then we decided to group those underneath the win. We decided, is there any grouping that makes sense? And then we tried to come up with cool names, which is kind of fun. We had some creative people trying to figure these out. After we grouped things, we defined those groups. So we've defined the main level, what a win is. So those are our win statements. Any ministry or event that relationally, that brings people in. That's our win. If it's bringing people in, then we won with that category. Then you go to the first thing underneath there, network is the name of that department, I'll call it. A network is any creating events that draw people to church. Now, the wording is very particular there. New visitors, anything that brings people to church. Again, the rock party, women's Christmas tea, the women's clothing swaps, the concerts, Christmas program, Warp Tour, the Rock U, at this point we put it there. We're primarily targeting getting people in our doors, getting into the building. Okay, connection, creating opportunities that connect visitors to church. Now, that's different, isn't it? There's a subtle difference. The network is kind of throwing the net out. That's where we came up with that. We're going outside, we're throwing a net and trying to get people in our church. Once they're in, then that switches to connection. Once they're in, they're new visitors. We're trying to connect them to our church. We do that with Pastor Social, right? The Membership 101 class, the Climbing Wall, Cookie Ministries, and Connections Ministries, which is what some of these are actually new ministries. Connections is basically going to be what the Walters and we talked about, a group of us, where we are going to try to connect more with people when they hand in their program. We've tried to send letters, we've tried to follow up, and it's not working well. And Terry's really and Cole have had it on their hearts. How can we connect with people who fill out our survey, our bullets, our program, and say, I'm interested especially in a relationship with Christ? You want to connect with those people. So we're trying to figure out how to hit it when it's hot. how to get them when it's hot. So they turned those things in. We're coming up with an idea to put a separate table just for visitors that say, if you've got a program, you don't go to the store for anymore, you go to that table, and we'll have it staffed, and they have lanyards, and it'll be cool, and they have all the literature and the discs. And there'll be four or five people, hopefully, that not just give them a disc and say, ask them some information about themselves, but actually try to connect with them and pull them off to the side, especially if they want to hear the gospel, and pull them off and actually share with them that night or set up an appointment. So this is in the works. We're going to hopefully implement that pretty quick. Mac, we actually talked about making it almost mandatory for people in an outreach class while they're in the class that they need to be at that table. Every weekend, they got to be there. If you're there, we'll give you a lanyard, and you need to hook up with these new people. And if they want to hear the gospel, take them, and we'll pair you up with somebody that knows it if you're just learning it, and you guys share it with them. And make it a mandatory part of the outreach class that they man that table. Which means, if you've taken, who's taking the outreach class here? Who has completed? Okay. Amen. That is so cool. You know, there's not many churches that could have 80% of the people say, I know how to share the gospel. That is so cool. I was surprised by that. But anyway, if you rose your hand, there's a good chance we're going to ask you to be a part of this ministry if you're available. And I understand you bring people sometimes. It's hard to get away and go do that. But if you're available, we're going to want you to just to be back there to be able to greet our new people. We're going to thank them for coming. We'll give them their disc, give them their whatever they want, study in baptism. But if they say, hey, I'm interested in a relationship with Christ, we're going to try to pull them aside somehow and share with them. Or at least poke around and say, how can I help you? What do you understand? Ask them the diagnostic questions, maybe. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm getting at? That's the connections of ministry. And we're going to try to implement that hopefully before next weekend with a big push. So anyway, that's kind of how we're doing things. Does that make sense? And so that's the level we've gotten to. I'm not going to necessarily go through each one of these. You can kind of see it, the build, body basics. Kind of read what we're trying to accomplish with each one of those things. We have wind build of sin. And we've got, not only do we have departments, but we have people that we have assigned. Some of our deacons and some of our staffers have been assigned to each one of those to oversee those particular departments. Now, does that mean that Steele is going to be in charge of just do it, and he's got to figure all that out, and he's got to call everybody to get donations and figure out a truck to take all the leftover stuff back? And Steele's going, oh my goodness, I hope not. You know, that's not a good thing. And no, that's not what that means. Because Steele's in charge of sin or oversend. Steele and we are resource people. Most of these ministries already have people over them. You guys are running most of these ministries. You're running with it. You're doing a great job with it. What we're trying to do is insert a level of management that will support you in any way that we can. Now, I've told these deacons I'm not going to pile a bunch of work on their table. They're not going to figure out your ministry for you, but if you go, hey, I need some new, these stickers aren't working, I need some new stickers, or I'm not having anybody show up, you can go to your deacon and say, hey, man, you got any ideas on this? And I've encouraged the deacons to encourage your people, to be support people, to pats on the back, and maybe a card here, they're saying, you're doing a great job, if I can help you, let me know. Wouldn't that be good? For your people to have somebody over them. But not only that, above them, they have a paid staffer, a pastor or a paid staffer that is in that, like steals over the sin. So we have somebody full-time that's going to help support all these ministries. We're just basically trying to give us, we want to prepare. We're just trying to be wise and prepare and build that infrastructure. Does that make sense? Anybody have any questions on this or thoughts? Michael, Steve? Add anything, Steele, Tony. Keep in mind that for everyone, we've only gone down two levels. We've gone the main level, wind build sin, and we've gone down to what I'm calling department level, the network connection, body basics. We've gone that level and defined what those are. We're going to go to every one of these events and define it, its purpose, with a one-sentence thing. The Rock Party will have its own statement every Christmas tea, why we're doing it. And when we do that, we'll also go, should we be doing this? What are we doing this for? Is it just because we've always done it? Or what? So every little bulleted item will also have its own win. That's our goal, is to have a win statement, a clarification statement. What do we want people to walk away with and do because of the communion service? I haven't thought about that. Well, we need to think about it. And once we do that, everybody in that department, everybody that's running communion will know clearly this is the win. This is what we're trying to accomplish. And it just all of a sudden everything lines up and you go, okay, we're all on the same page. And we can rejoice. We can, when we do have a win, we can all rejoice together. It's kind of like being in a baseball game and not knowing what the goal of baseball is. It's like somebody getting up and hitting a really long ball, and you could be going, whoa, we're winning, because look how, that's the farthest ball of the whole game. That's just the longest hit. Yes! And the guy just walks up and catches it, and it's just a long out. If you don't understand baseball, you know that's nothing. That's a out. The win is if he crosses the plate. And everybody knows that. And you got to get on base before you can cross the plate. So if you understand the win is crossing the plate, then you don't so much rejoice. You hope that it goes out of the park, but it didn't go out. It's just a long out. And you know, there's a lot of things that we can do as Christians that are just a long out. Big waste of time. Why are we doing that? Just wasting our time. People come to me all the time with ideas. And I know they're just a long out. And I might say, boy, that's a really good idea. We'll consider that. But I know it's a distraction because it's their thing. Maybe they want to start a Christian school. Oh, we should start a Christian. I'm just thinking, you know, when I'm dead and gone, we might start a Christian school. I was not called to start a Christian school. I'm called here to win and build and send. If it doesn't fit here, it's a long out to me. And as staff, we're trying to figure that out. What's an out? What's a win? What's going to get us across the plate? And then when we cross the plate, what does the crowd do?
Cheer.
We cheer because we know what it means to win. And if a church doesn't know what it means to win, we're not going to hear a lot of cheering. There'll be confusion. There'll be leaders that are going, I don't know what I'm doing. There'll be frustrated people will leave. Gifted leaders will leave if they don't know what a win is because they're gifted to lead and they're gifted to win. And if we don't know what a win is, people will leave. They just feel frustrated. But if we all know what the win is, and you know in your department or your ministry what a win is, and you've got support, and the whole team's cheering for you, that could fire us up a little bit. That could help us grow. That could support what we're doing, couldn't it? Somebody had a thought. Jim, did you have a question?
Well, I see the pastoral team that you have, the two of you. And I know you mentioned, you know, last night that you were two. And then when you announced the new pastors, in my mind, I just assumed four of you now are our team.
Right.
Yeah,
because we haven't recognized them yet. They're not pastors yet until we lay hands on them from the church. I mean, they're pastors, but we're going to wait and do that. But yes, you're absolutely right. On November 4th and 5th, or whenever that is, this chart will be changed. And Steele Crosswhite and Josh Whitney will be on that chart. And Josh's name will go from administration. He'll probably go back up. We'll figure out how to rearrange this for sure. So you're absolutely right. Any other questions about this or comments, Steele?
I just think one thing that's good is, I think what it will do, and hopefully will do, is that it gives everybody a little bit more personal ownership of what's going on.
Yeah.
Because you and I work in a church, you know, Meals on Wheels, who's in charge of that? Who's, you know, I think we're at the time now where we can go, oh, leader, 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 and we can all have all personal ownership. We can all see where we're doing a good job.
Yeah, it'll help with leadership. Yeah, absolutely. Michael?
Notice, the first one though, is focal point was under build, and the reason why that one did
Yeah, and it really fits our church, too. It builds our church up. But when builds sin is, I mean, it's a beautiful thing. That's who we are. That's, and it helps us think that way, doesn't it? It keeps us thinking that way. Suge?
I just think what's neat about it is that it gives us an opportunity to see God's working. There's so many times where, you know, Meals on Wheels, Saturday night, we don't know anything about that.
Right.
You know, but to know that this now opens up the opportunity to create the awareness that God's working in that area, just, I think, opens up God even more to each one of us.
Yeah, that's good. Opens opportunities for everyone to see what's going on in church. That's really good. Yes. Oh, I see. Yeah. It's on my copy. Some of you, it may be on some of your copies, but under build, the very last bodybuilding, under GCLI, it's the camp out. And there'll be more things. Obviously, there's things we're forgetting, but I think we covered everything that we're doing right now anyway, and feel pretty good about that. So, any other questions about that? You guys feel like, hopefully that's somewhat empowering to know kind of where we're at right now. And again, next year we would love to recognize more deacons and deaconesses to help us organize all these things. Just so you know, speaking of deacons and leadership, just real quick, let me clarify. Just with Steele and Josh's responsibilities, we're Josh back there. You may be thinking, now what does that mean for Steele and what does that mean for Josh? Well, that's the very question Steele asked me, and it's the very question Josh. What does that mean for me to be an elder, a pastor in this church? Is Steele going to stop playing music? Is he going to just start preaching and organizing and you know, am I going to give him all my responsibilities so I can do something different? You know, well, first of all, that'd be foolish to do something like that. Amen, brother? Not so much because Steele couldn't do it, because it'd be foolish not to let him flourish where God has blessed him and given him gifts. That's what I tell Steele. And just so you know that, Steele's job description is the same as it is right now, the same, just do it more. And what it does is it brings him to the table with me and Mac and Josh as an elder board, as a co-pastors, where he takes ownership, and a lot of it's mental. And there may be a little more counseling. There may be people that see him as a pastor and will approach him more likely. But he's already doing all that anyway. He's meeting with all you guys. So his job description isn't going to change in as far as practically. And it's just going to be keep doing what you're doing. He'll be doing concerts. He'll be recording. He'll be producing. He'll do all that. We just want him to keep doing what he's doing. And God's blessed him and brought him to this point. Josh, he's pretty much maxed out. I mean, there's not a lot more that he can do. Mentally, he'll have more ownership, and that'll obviously for both these guys, that'll be more pressure. That's what Paul said, that I've been beaten, I've been shipwrecked, I've been all these things, but on top of that, I've got the pressure of all the churches, Paul said. Well, welcome to eldership. They're going to have that pressure now. Their little circle of worship teams, or the Rock U, that circle is going to expand to include the whole church as far as their mental and spiritual responsibility. They'll join with Mac and I. But again, they've already got that. If you know these guys, they have owned this church. This is their church. And they've taken that responsibility. Practically speaking, you know, I'm not asking Josh to do much more. We'll work our schedule around for elders meetings where we can have Josh join us, and may ask him to come to more, conference or two more than he had before, pastor's conferences and different things like that. But just so you know that. And what it does is it frees up Mac and I, too, to be able to spend, you know, more concentrated time thinking about Sunday. And because these guys already, you know, have them recognized, and mainly on Saturday, we're pastors of both churches, all four of us. Does that make sense? Obviously, their connections are more Saturday night, and they'll take more ownership of that, and that'll allow Mac and I to take more ownership of Sunday morning, which I think will bless the Sunday morning people. We're going to think, some of them are going to think, how come they get two new pastors downtown and we don't get anything? You know, I know that's going to happen. Not everybody, but that's just the nature of our flesh. But in my mind, you know what? You're getting me and Mac to be able to freeing us up to focus more and to work with the leaders here. And not, again, quite honestly, it's not going to change that much, but mentally it'll help them to know that, hey, yeah, we're doing that so we can be freed up more on Sunday morning. Does that make sense? But practically speaking, nothing's going to change. It's like we're still doing that. We're on a mission together, all four of us now. We're going to bless Saturday, bless Sunday morning. We're going to teach at both places. Nothing's going to change in my mind at this point because everybody's maxed out. And eventually, Josh will get him on full time as soon as we can, as soon as our church is going to grow, and as soon as he's ready, and as soon as we're ready, and we have the finances. Wouldn't that be good to have Josh full time working with us and for us? It's going to be awesome. But that'll happen. We don't know the time frame. We're talking a year, give or take. That's kind of what we've talked about. God could do it sooner. We'll just see. Does that make sense? Any questions about that? And also, you guys are the first ones to know this. We probably won't tell the whole church this till, I'm not sure, like I was thinking 2 weeks out. Which is fine if they hear about it, they're going to be hearing about it. That's cool. But I wanted you guys to know first, and you can just tell them, hey, they're going to announce this to the whole church pretty quick here. They just wanted to give us a heads up at this leadership retreat. Okay, I want to hurry so we can take a break. Let me just go over, as far as we're talking about what's going on right now, let me give you the schedule of events through December. Again, I want to empower you for the present. And we have made plans. We have built our house. We've hewn out our seven pillars. We've got things planned that we think will help us accomplish our goal to win, build, and send, which will eventually take us to our vision of one life at a time, one world in our lifetime. And understand this, we don't typically create events just to busy your schedule. Okay? I'm not interested in filling up my schedule. Quite honestly, guys, you're not going to find too many churches that have fewer things on their calendar. Can anybody say amen to that? They've been at other churches. You go to a program-based church, which we are not. We're not a program-based church. I mean, we don't create a program just because we have, you know, retired ladies that want to play tennis, so we create a retired ladies tennis ministry, which a lot of churches feel like they have to provide something for everybody. That's not our philosophy of ministry. We create ministry that drives, our vision drives our ministry. Whatever it's going to take to win, build, send, that's why we do things. And that's why we're trying to organize and go, should we be doing this? Should we be doing these things? And then we put them under Win Builder Send. They've got to fit under Win Builder Send. We're not just going to do a Christian school because that's a cool thing to do, or have a softball team because everybody has a softball team. We want to think through all that. We may have a softball team. Does it fit? Why are we doing it? That's the questions we're going to start asking all our ministries. So, that having said, we do have some things coming up we want you to be aware of. Again, this helps my wife. When I go over the calendar and just say, honey, here's coming up, she goes, okay. She can engage with it. I want you to engage with me in the last 5-10 minutes here before we take a break with what we got coming up, because we need you guys to understand this is our battle plan. This is what we've got on the docket to win, build, and send. These are the things right here. Friday Night Lives, we've only been doing that once a quarter. And I was very much pleased by the attendance of the last one on Labor Day weekend. We had an amazing turnout. Then most of you stayed afterwards and helped clean our church and Sandy. And then came back Saturday morning and painted and cleaned. And it looks unbelievable. Michael, did you say they put up our billboard this week? You're going to have to see, you know, the sign on 13th, the big on the back of the building says Rock Church that we hand-painted. And it looks okay. And hundreds of people have come from that. Michael and I think Suge helped out. Is that right with the banner? Not with the banner, but you did with other banners. Anyway, we have a professionally made billboard stuck over the top of that. I mean, have you seen it? Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I hear it looks good. So why am I talking about that? I don't know. Friday Night Live. Friday Night Live. You guys helped clean up the building. It's all looking good. I mean, it's not done yet, but you guys made a huge dent in it. I'm so thankful. I'm so glad. That was so much fun to work with some of you guys, and we just need to have a good building project once in a while, I think, just to keep us honest. Okay, so Friday Night Lives, guys, I encourage you, don't blow that off. We need to come together. You know what we've been doing lately? We'll share a little bit about what's going on, but I just had a heart to pray. Just let's just break up and let's pray together as a church. I didn't even prepare really last time. Just let's just pray. And whatever God puts on our hearts, have some people share. It's a sweet time. It's a time to come together Saturday and Sunday. You know, I want you guys to be there. I want you to be there. It's four times a year. It's 90 minutes times four. What is that? 360 minutes out of your life. Okay, we don't just do that. We want you to be part of that. Okay, so let's look back at September. We're at Utaba. Unite in prayer. This is kind of a thing that came up with Mac and I are in an accountability group with some other pastors. We just looked at each other and said, what can we do for Solidarity Weekend, which is this weekend, which you'll start seeing these green signs pop up in churches around the city. We've got one on both our churches. There should be one at the Saturday building. And it's going to say, one Lord, one God, one Lord, Jesus Christ, worship Him here. 42, I think, churches in the valley we've all agreed on a real simple statement of faith that we all agree on this, real simple, just Jesus Christ is Lord, there's one God, and that He's to be worshipped, and you can look at a website. We put those up on our churches this week, and this weekend we're kicking off what we're calling Solidarity Weekend. We're going to have a press conference next week, explain this to the whole city, have a bunch of pastors come together, different denominations, just to tell the world and tell the culture of Utah we are not divided. Because they use that against us all the time. I don't know if you've talked with people, go, well, how can we know your religion isn't true? Look at you all got Methodists and Presbyterian. They look at that and they go, oh, see, you're all divided. It's not true, and we know that's not true, right? I mean, just as much as united with the Assemblies of God guys and with the Church of Christ friend that I have and his church, and I love them, and K2, we bless them. We're not divided, but they look at that. This culture goes, see, you're all divided. You can't even agree. So this is to counter that partially. We're all going to put the same signs on our buildings, which is huge, and say, get together in front of the TV cameras next week, watch it on the news, and we're going to say, we are united for a purpose in this valley. We love each other, and we have different denominations, yes, but we're going to make a statement. That night, we're going to meet for prayer as a church. Not our church, as the church throughout the valley. All the churches are invited to come to our building. We just offered to host it, said, we'll host it. We're going to come to our building. And it's going to be 90 minutes. We're just going to pray. No real agenda. We're going to pray for the city. We're going to pray for the LDS culture. We're going to pray for leadership in the church. We're going to pray together as a church. So that's this Sunday. That's tomorrow night. Think about coming to that. It really bless us. 7 o'clock. It's at Sandy. Sandy. Just going to pray. That's all we're going to do. Join a bunch of other. Wouldn't it be cool if we had hundreds? We should have thousands, but I know it's just kind of short notice. And then, the next week, not that tonight and this weekend, I'm finishing up the Ephesians series. Next week, Saturday night, we're going to do a different series than Sunday morning. Saturday night, Josh and Steele have organized Losing My Religion. They were going to call it Religion Sucks, which I thought was pretty cool. But they toned it down, and they call it Losing My Religion. They've been chalking the U. We got flyers. Tony's designed some cool stuff. And it's our big outreach for the fall. It starts next weekend. So be inviting your friends to Saturday. This is a chance for you to engage your culture, your friends. Invite them to this. It's going to be a great five-week series. What are some of the topics? Josh Steele, what are some of the topics again? So people's we're going to bust some people's perceptions of what? Religion? Yeah. So it's going to be an awesome series Saturday night, and these guys are primarily going to be doing it. We've got some, I think, is Derek teaching one of them? I'm teaching one of them. You guys are doing the rest, is that right? And then Sunday, a parallel series, we're going to do a kind of a, more of a family type, calling out surviving the challenges of life. We're going to talk about surviving conflict, surviving children, surviving finances, surviving some other things. The last one's going to be surviving Judgment Day. I'm going to share the gospel and explain that to people. And we're doing a whole blown out artwork, flyers, postcards for that as well. So we got two different tracks going just at this period. Then we'll come back together and go again. We just thought this would be a great thing to do. That starts in 1 week. Who are you going to invite? If I ask you to write down 10 names, who are you going to invite? Again, see, guys, at this level, you need to understand something. If you don't get off your butts and do something, nothing's going to happen. And we need to engage with this stuff. We do. Nobody else is going to do it. If you don't do it, nobody's going to do it. When we had 12 people sitting in a room for something 03, whatever that was, Vision Quest 03, these guys knew who was going to do the work. They knew that. When we get to be 700 people, everybody thinks somebody else is going to do it. That's just the nature of a group think. I want to tell you guys got to do it. If you're not inviting anybody, don't be surprised that nobody shows up. It's not going to be our advertising. It's not going to be our website, although that will bring some. It's got to be from you, okay? Everybody nod and go, okay, Bill. You guys, I'm expecting you to engage. We have to, at this level, we have to engage, okay? That's 1 week, 1 week. And we have stuff for them to pass out. We already do, right? Some literature for the losing your religion. We have a postcard or just a flyer. So there'll be some at the service tonight. Yeah. Okay. Then small groups are coming up. Real quick, let's go through the small group rally weekend, which means you advertise your small group. If you're thinking about leading a small group, rally weekend is we'll put out tables and we'll advertise your small group after the service. So this weekend, which would be September 16th and 17th, that's when we're going to roll out rally weekend at both Saturday and Sunday. And if you have a small group, you need to come prepared to put out your literature, your books, your study. Man your table, have some flyers, and recruit people to your small group, okay? And I know Saturday doesn't have as many small groups, but actually there's some Sunday small groups. I say Sunday, led by Sunday people that would fit people. There's some really interesting small groups, and they may come, and we've encouraged them to set up a table Saturday night and invite people to their small groups that are relevant to both Saturday and Sunday. That's important. We're starting small groups then. We'll go down. Oh, two services starts. Well, I got that wrong. Two services starts tomorrow, Sunday morning. Tomorrow morning, to you Sunday people, remember two services tomorrow, 9:30 and 11:15. It's a dry run before our series starts on the 17th. Which is very exciting, by the way, to give people two opportunities to come to church. It's going to bless our church. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it just creates some momentum. It would be kind of a kick in the gut if we go to two services and you know, for all the people that are working hard and now multiplying their energies, not to have a lot of people come. We expect people to come, don't get me wrong, but we are multiplying our service. You know, if you just cut it in half, it could be sparse. We're trusting God for better things. Somebody had their hand up. No? Okay, let's move on. Two services starts tomorrow. The Survivor and the Losing My Religious series starts the week after that. Small groups start September 18th. That's the official kickoff of our new semester small groups. We'll have that list hopefully even today at the church services, at least our compiled list that we have so far. And we're getting a number of groups, which is awesome. Ladies Night Out, which will be every third Monday, typically. There'll be some changes. You have to check your schedule. But Ladies Night Out, Monday, September 18th. And we want you ladies to be there. We want you to be there with your friends. Invite your friends. No, you can't come, Daniel, to Ladies Night Out, okay? Sunday morning church service, 9:30, 11:15. Yeah. 9:30, 11:15. You can go on the website. It tells that on the website. So Ladies Night Out, you can't miss it. They're going to be talking about some really encouraging, they have some great topics. They've got it all planned out. Ladies, raise your hand, ladies. Raise your hand. Raise them up. Yeah, you got to be there. This is once a month. This is our build. We're going to build you up, and you get relationships. You got to be there, okay? Ladies Night Out. Sunday morning, on the 24th, we'll have our second rally weekend for any Small groups that are still looking for people. GCI road trip, we have those once a quarter for anyone that can come. September 29th, October 1st, we go to Fort Collins, Colorado. Spend the night in the church there. Who's ever done that? Yeah, it's a good time. It's a road trip Friday. And then oftentimes we stay till Sunday. We're going to be meeting in Denver, but we'll stay in Fort Collins. So be thinking about that. You can sign up for these things online, okay? Last time we had like 35 people, and it'd be great to have that many again. Go to October. Every Man's Monday is the kind of the parallel of Ladies' Night Out. We do that on the first Monday of every month, typically. And guys, you know, this we had over 90 men come to our first one, which was amazing. Now, it's going to be up to you. I had to call. I called about 7 guys, and they all came. Most of them had forgot about it. I called them like at 4:30 that night. Guys, again, call your friends. Invite or remind them. Go with them. Pick them up. Whatever you have to do, get them there because they're going to get relationships with other men. And I'm going to be teaching most of those. I'm going to be doing pastor teaching doctrinal things, teach you how to defend your faith, how to defend the Godhead, how to defend the Trinity, how to defend Jesus Christ, how to defend baptism and communion. Why do we do those things? Basically, go through our statement of faith and be able to defend it. I'm going to teach you how to do that on Monday nights, once a month. Guys, can we do that? We can do that. Okay, then we'll have a... No, but we probably should, and we can't. Actually,
that's a good idea for the women who
would like to hear that. Actually, we are. We're going to videotape. And that's one of the reasons I want to have video. It would be Every Man's Monday. Yeah. We're going to videotape those as well. We're trying to get a video set up in Sandy as well. Okay, so where are we at here? What did I forget? Pastor Social. Sunday, we have one Sunday, October 8th, and we advertise that, typically we advertise that Sunday, we'll do a pastor social on Next Level every once in a while to kind of catch new people. We could change that, that's the way it's working right now. Buckets 2 Retreat, where we share the big truths of the faith, big truths of the faith. We have John Meyer from Fort Collins is going to come out and teach his big truths of the faith and fire us up. You'll get a t-shirt, we're going to do it in-house, this is a cheap conference. Again, guys, we don't just put these things here just, to keep you busy. We really don't. And it's disheartening when a lot of people don't show up that I know could be there and they just blew it off or just did something else. If that happens with you guys, that's disheartening. Because we're doing it for you. And then we'll hear people say, well, I think we need to have a new women's ministry. And I'm thinking, you don't go to anything anyway and you want us to create a new ministry? You don't go to anything. We have people like that. They're always saying, we need to start. You don't do it when we do it. And so we put things on here. How many of you were blessed by buckets last year or listen to tapes now? I have people tell me now, I listen to tapes now. It's when we have times like this, guys, put buckets on your calendar. You have no excuse. It's a Friday night, Saturday to about 3. It's at our church building. It's easy to come to. It's not expensive. You get a cool t-shirt. It's going to be awesome. Then we have Ladies Night Out, Daylight Savings, going to November, Recognition Service, which I talked about last night. November 5th, that'll be dedicated to recognizing the deacons and the elders, and then I'll have Josh and Steele share after they're recognized, just the kind of their testimonies. That'll be an electric weekend. Every Man's Monday. Yeah, somebody caught that. Steele will probably be playing electric that weekend as well. I think you are, actually. Okay, and we'll have a new series, CD Release Party. Revolution 1 will be coming out. We'll have that's a Saturday night. We're going to combine that with our 7-year anniversary party. We'll have a release party. It's going to be a party night that Saturday. Okay, it'll be party down. We'll have a concert. Still be doing a concert. And the other bands will be participating. It's a compilation album, which is going to be very cool. Mark that on your calendar. Then again, Ladies Night Out that month, Thanksgiving, Antioch Project, which is our Great Commission Ministries project, mission project that we kick around. The Great Commission movement has a pet project, and all the churches kind of help kind of promote that. December, we're going to plug through the Saturday new series. We're not sure what that's going to be yet, but Women's Christmas Tea, you'll be hearing more about that. Is that what they call it still? That was in my old notes. They may have changed the name. It's an outreach event. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
It's not just that I'm going. Now I go, all these things that we're doing, you can look at this chart and go, buckets. I mean, is that something to do about our friends? Well, I don't know. I mean, I think what it is it's a build. So you can go, it's totally just about the bottom.
Right.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, it clarifies the win. It's like if you had the women's tea and it was all believers, and we reevaluated at the end of the night and said, was that a win? We'd go, well, no, it wasn't. It was okay. It was a long out, though, because we didn't bring anybody new. It was created to bring new people into the church. Justin? Yeah, to build them, if it builds them up one step closer in the relationship with Christ, then it's a win. Yeah. Okay. Small groups, guys. Small groups in December, but just keep those in mind. We got to be loading up our small groups. We have to get people connected in relationships. If we don't, we lose them. Yes, Hayden. What's that? Oh yeah, that's no. Small groups end. No, that's not. I just copied out. So, no, it ends like the third week in December, second or third week in December, I think. So, that's the wrong date. Sorry. Thank you for pointing that out. Kids' Christmas program, Sunday morning. Rock Christmas Eve service. You guys want to do a Christmas Eve service? We've never done. Well, we did one a long time ago, I think. But would you guys be up for that? Because, you know, I really don't want to do it. I never do. When it comes around there, I kind of go, I don't want to do this. You know, it's just kind of hard. I want to be home with my family. But did we? See how great it was? I don't even think I went. I was gone. I was in Iowa, I think. But, again, it'd be a win. I think it would be. We don't have it in there, but it'd be a win. Bring your friends. How many of you go to a Christmas Eve service? If we have it or not, how many of you typically go? About a third of us. We could be thinking about that. If we do it, then I want you to come and bring your friends. I don't want to keep you busy. I just, you know, let's axe it off if nobody's going to come. Okay, here's the last thing. Faith Walkers. How many of you guys have heard of Faith Walkers? Okay, here's the cool thing. We want a million people to go to Faith Walkers from Salt Lake City. It costs a lot of money and it's at a bad time, but I still want you to go. I think it's at a good time. I like it. It's right after Christmas. Christmas, unfortunately, is on a Tuesday, I think, this year. It's Monday, so then we have to be there 2 days later, 27th to the 31st. Where's my brochures go? Here. Pass these around and grab it if you want. This is the best conference, and I'm not kidding you. I've been to all of them. Mac would say it. Steele would say it. Derek would say it. Michael, who's been to Faith Walkers? Justin and Christy would say it. Yeah, is it good? Is it worth? Yeah. These guys are recruiting people. Is that good? I'm not kidding, Zach. Okay, it costs more money to sign up after October 31st. It's in Missouri. It takes 22 hours to drive it if you drive fast. And it's wintertime. Okay, but you guys will not be... The people that went last year from Salt Lake City, we had such a sweet time. I just remember sitting in somebody's room, Max's room, or somebody's, and Sharon, there's tears, and there was like life-changing. And here's the deal. It's us. It's people like you, part of the Great Commission movement from all around the country. We'll have over 2,000 people there this year. We'll be worshiping. Steele will be helping lead worship. He'll do all the morning worship with Kim, leading 2,000 people that have like minds and hearts that want to reach this world in our movement. Okay, everybody look up at me. I lost you here. Put your thing down and look up at me. Hayden, thank you. Okay, I want you to go. You won't be disappointed. I understand if you can't, but here's the deal. We can get luxury buses. I mean, really nice buses, but it would cost, and this isn't bad either, probably cost between $150 and $170 a piece per person to do the bus, which isn't bad when you think about gas expense, driving 22 hours with your own vehicle through snow. Wouldn't it be nice to have somebody else drive, and you can get up and go to the bathroom whenever you want to. It's got big screen TVs. We can watch DVDs. We can fellowship. And they're nice buses. We didn't even check into the cheap ones because that would be heinous. So we're not going to do that, okay? Here's the deal. I think by October 31st, what I'm going to do is we're going to make that available. We have to fill the buses up. Otherwise, we can't, you know, we take a loss because they charge us per trip. And it's about 52 people on a bus. I think we can fill up 52 people to go for $170 one way. I mean, not one way, both ways. That's not included in this. This is your travel expense. It'd be $170, but that would be it. You'd be down there and you'd be back and somebody else would do the driving. And I would love to do that. I would love to get 50 of us. I'm going to set a deadline and say if we don't have the cutoff, we're going to have to not do it because we can't afford to take a hit on this. Does that make sense? So how many of you would be at least interested in saying that's an option I might consider, getting on a bus and going to Tantera? Yeah, okay, that's almost 50 right there. I think that'd be a way. I think that'd be a good way to go. So we will pursue that, and we'll make that option hopefully available. Let you know the details and set a deadline. And if we don't get that many, we're gonna have to say it's not gonna work. But yeah, this is gonna be. It's incredible. Faith Walkers is the men of our movement that have been in our movement for over 25 years, like Tom Short, like Herschel Martindale, like Brent Knox, like Mark Darling. These men are. Their goal is to share with us, to build our faith up with their stories. This is what God's done, just like we did last night, kind of, but even more intense. And they're going to build us up, and we have great worship. There's seminars. It's at a wonderful place called, it's in the Lake of the Ozarks. It's in wintertime. We'll have the whole camp to ourselves. It's a nice camp. I mean, it's, yeah, you've got this, but then you've got what we're going to be at. It's nice. It's amazing, actually. And it's a lot of fun. We just hang out with each other. And then we have meals together. They have big rounds. They serve family style. You go through and get your stuff and sit with 10 other people. And you get to meet people. And Derek? Yeah, you don't want to mess with Derek on Dance Dance Revolution. They got an arcade there that we hang out. Play a little Scrabble. What we're going to do is set up a camera over Derek and Michael as they play Scrabble, because it's just entertaining to watch them play. Okay, so you know you got to be thinking about that right now. You can save your money and you can make it happen. And let's all go do it together. Okay, I just want to put that on your radar because that's going to come really quick, and that takes us to the end of the year. Any questions about the schedule? About where we're at right now? I've tried to empower you with where we're at right now. This is where we're at. This is it. There's not much more. And this, if we do these things, we think God's called us to do these things and do them well and have us all be a part. Okay? Any questions? Yes. That is. Okay, GCLI is a Great Commission Leadership Institute, which is, again, a regional teaching time where we gather with people from churches in our region, which is Colorado mainly. The Colorado churches and us in Seattle and I think Arizona and New Mexico, they'll come up. We'll probably have 250, 300 people that come together and we hear some teachings that have been given to us from our national leadership that have been developed. We'll hear some topics. We'll have some discussions. We'll have a meal together. It's 9 o'clock Saturday morning to 3 o'clock Saturday afternoon. But we can't make it. If we drive, you know, we have to drive all night. So we usually go Friday night, stay at the Fort Collins Church building, and then we'll drive to our meeting from 9 till 3, and then we have the afternoon free. We usually do something fun, probably go back to Fort Collins. Or no, we talk about hanging around Denver. Something like that. So hang around Saturday afternoon or go back. If you need to go back, you can go back Saturday. Otherwise, people can hang and spend the night Saturday night in Fort Collins again and then leave Sunday morning and go back to Salt Lake City. Earlier the better. You don't have to. We've had people come at 2 or 3 in the morning. It's a 6.5 to 7-hour drive to Fort Collins. A little over an hour, yeah.
We'll
leave
probably around 7:30, yeah. We'll get down to Denver, we'll hang out there at the conference, hang out in Denver, and then I want to get back to Fort Collins to that church last year we just in the upper room, like the upper room of the church, where we just hung out with one another and shared, and just like we're doing now. Hey, love one another, and we worship a little bit, and then we'll wake up the next morning and leave. So that's the most important thing for me, obviously, is this conference, and hang out at dinner time, and then getting back to Fort Collins to worship Jesus and hang out with one another.
Yeah. Yeah, amen. It's pretty cheap because we're not going to deal with your gas this time. We let you deal with that. You're on your own. So it's what? $10. That gives you all your conference materials. It gives you all your meals once we get there, because Rick pays for the lunch Saturday, but we'll pay for your breakfast. Two breakfasts. So it doesn't pay for all your meals. You get to pay for your own dinner when you go out in Denver or Fort Collins, wherever you go out, and you get pizza, and we go out to a nice meal, whatever. So $10 gets you two breakfasts and your lunch and your materials for the conference. So it's pretty cheap. Then you have to pay the person that drove the car. Understand that the person that drove the car is going to be spending a lot of money on gas, so don't stiff them. You got to pay up. Help whoever's in that car pay up and make sure you do that, okay? We're not going to take care of that this time. Last time you paid us and we split it up. We're not going to do that. Any other questions that help? It's going to be a good time. I mean, it's a road trip. And it encourages, I want to tell you something. The Christians, the saints in Colorado, I've had countless comments how it encourages their hearts. We sometimes bring more people than somebody that has a church 5 miles away. And it encourages their heart. They almost in tears, they say, man, you got such a great group of people. I can't even get our leaders to come for some reason. And you brought 35 people. It's amazing. I don't know. We just got great people, I guess. It's pretty awesome. You know? But it is, and it's fun. And it's a building time. We get to interact with other Christians. So, any other question about the schedule? Okay. I like to take a picture. Who's got a camera? Micah, you're good. Let's just have, whoever. Let's go out here real quick. Don't dawdle. Some of you have to go to the bathroom, right? Go do that really fast. I want to take a picture, and then we're going to take a break, and I've got just a short thing, 10 or 15 minutes, and then we'll be done. So hurry up, go to the bathroom, come right out here. And I want all you deacons to get individual pictures, too, before you come back in. If you can get all the deacons, Micah.
Yeah.